Experience layers of handcrafted perfection in every sip of Dunkin' Donuts' delicious new macchiato, made with steamed milk, layered with rich and creamy flavor, topped with a double shot of Dunkin's rich, freshly brewed espresso. It's a beautiful combination that tastes as good as it looks. Find your macchiato moment today and enjoy the flavor of fall with a new hot or iced pumpkin macchiato. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Pumpkin flavors are back at Dunkin' Donuts. Get pumped for pumpkin and enjoy the fall flavor you crave with a variety of tasty treats. Experience the new handcrafted pumpkin macchiato and indulge in new pumpkin cheesecake squares made with creamy pumpkin cheesecake filling. There's so many pumpkin flavors to choose from. Enjoy pumpkin donuts, muffins, munchkins, and more before pumpkin season is over. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Good luck to the Norwood Knights. From Dunkin' Donuts, with three great and convenient locations in your area, including Irwin, Murraysville, and North Versailles. America runs on Dunkin'.
Brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'.
Sports Talk on Trib Live Radio presents The Ike Taylor Show.
I am finished sweating.
Check out officialiketaylor.com. Now here's your host, Trib columnist John Harris. Trib Total Media. See what's next.
Good morning and welcome to The Ike Taylor Show on Trib Live Radio. Brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, the preferred coffee of the Ike Taylor Show. I'm John Harris of Trib Total Media. Good morning, Ike Taylor. What's going on, my man?
What's up, John? How you doing?
I'm doing real good. And it's always interesting, at least here in Pittsburgh, how much brighter the sun seems to be the day or the night after a Steelers victory. It's blazing bright here already on Tuesday morning, and a really interesting game last night in many ways for the Steelers. I guess maybe give us a little look into the side of the inside of the character of this team. Still early in the season, but definitely a statement game for the team, winning 24-20 at San Diego on something you don't see a lot. The last play of the game, a walk-off touchdown by Le'Veon Bell, and we're going to spend some time talking about that touchdown and that play and everything leading up to it. Like, what did the game tell you about this team, your former team, former teammates, former coach, under not necessarily the best situation statistically, offensively, but when it mattered most in the fourth quarter, Michael Vick stepped up, made some big-time plays, big-time throws, a big-time scramble, and led the Steelers to victory.
That Tyrod Taylor, what he did with Tennessee, his first half was kind of shaky, wasn't looking good, but the defense kept him close. In the second half, you know, he put the team on his back. I'm not saying Vic did that from the second half, but when it was time to make a play, Vic made two plays. He scrambled for 24 yards. Then after the 24 yards, he threw it up the same to Earl, a.k.a. Heath Miller, to put him in position to win the ball game. So, I mean, he still had some flaws in the game, but at the same time, the defense did everything they needed to do to keep the game close. And when it was time for him to make a few plays or two, he did, and that's all you can ask from Mike Vick right now. He's still trying to settle in the offense. You know what I'm saying? So he settled down a little bit more than last week. And I was saying last week, and Coach T was kind of saying when he was starting, like, hey, give me that old Vick. Like, when it's crunch time, lead me back to that old Vick. Lead me back to that Atlanta Vick. And a few times, that's what Vic did, and I was glad to see that.
Well, I want to look at some of the, you know, people are talking about he didn't play well, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. And, you know, statistically, 13-26, 203 yards, one touchdown, and what a touchdown it was, and one interception. So in two starts, Michael Vick has one turnover, which is not bad for a backup quarterback, hasn't played in a while. And he is a backup quarterback. Let's get this straight here. He's not the starter. He was brought in as a backup in case of a situation. You know, he's like one of those guys, you know, like you used to see in the buildings, in case of fire, break glass and go in there and get the fire extinguisher. That's Michael Vick. In case of injury, the Ben Roethlisberger, break glass. And there you go, Michael Vick. And very easily, this could be 2-0 as a starter. The previous game against Baltimore didn't work out that way, but he had the team in position to win that game as well. He put the team in position to win this game. I'm thinking about, and that's what tells you about a player, Ike. You could talk about, oh, statistically, first three quarters, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. Now, if that had continued throughout the fourth quarter, but think about the third down pass that Darius Haywood Bay, the third down pass to Earl Heath Miller, the bomb to Marcus Wheaton for a touchdown. Those are all big, huge, fourth quarter plays. He stepped up when it was time. And I guess that's maybe what separates him from a lot of backups really aren't expected to do that. Backups are expected to not mess up. You know, give me a chance to win. He went beyond that last night. You know, then the scramble as well. Huge, huge plays that if you don't have any of those, well, just take one of those plays out of the equation, you know, before we, you know, there is no deciding whether or not we're going to let Le'Veon Bell run in the last play game. We don't even get to that point. So you got to give him credit for that. Steelers fans are hard on players. They've been hard on Michael Vick. A lot of them haven't been happy that Michael Vick came to the team because of his history off the field. But I wonder where they are this morning and if they want to give him back right now, because they didn't have Michael Vick last night. The Steelers would have lost that game.
Yeah, I mean, you got to look. The man did his time for the pass. You know what I'm saying? You got to let that go. You know, so when the man did his time, you got to acknowledge that. You might not be happy with it, but you got to acknowledge it and just move on. I know now that Seven is hurt and Michael Vick is the backup, I mean, people got to be happy about that. At first, it's like, dang, Seven is our quarterback. Now that, you know, if Vick was not backup, now what? You know what I'm saying? And don't forget, he still gave them an opportunity 2 weeks ago versus Baltimore, you know, to win the game. It depends on who you ask. When it came down to the play calling towards the end of the game, now the same situation came with the play calling towards the end of the game, and now you see the result. And people wanted the same result 2 weeks ago. You know what I'm saying? So, and the same situation came this week, and the results you wanted 2 weeks ago, you get that result on the game winning play with 5 seconds left. So you can say what you want to say about the man-to-man, you know, still as a backup, was able to keep the team in close range, was able to make the plays when he needed to, and from 2-2, instead of going 2-3, now you're 3-2 on the road, AFC opponent, which is going to count towards the end of the season.
Same situation from 2 weeks ago, different result. Think about that for a minute, Ike. And I'm going to spend some time. There's a lot of things to talk about. You know, obviously the final play of the game, your boy Zilla, Antoine Blake, pick six. But I want to spend some time right here talking about Michael Vick and Coach Mike Tomlin, who are joined at the hip. You know, Mike Tomlin had talked about Michael Vick for a long time. I mean, when I was covering the Steelers, and that was a way back, there was talk that Mike Tomlin had made some talk about overtures about Michael Vick. It didn't happen then, but there was an interest there. There's a connection there. Both are from that same area, Tidewater area. I'm not sure if it's Tidewater or in Virginia. And make no mistake about it, you know, Mike Tomlin wanted Michael Vick here. He went out and got him. And you have to, and it's interesting with Mike Tomlin. as a head coach, as an NFL head coach, I believe, in his ninth season. Still, maybe the only NFL coach who really still, to me, in many ways, isn't talked about like an NFL coach. To play, going for that fourth down play last night, that was all on the coach. If it doesn't work out, we know what it's going to be like this morning, what the fallout's going to be. The offensive change, Ben Roethlisberger's, metamorphosis over the last couple of years into this pass-happy quarterback with amazing results. Mike Tomlin's the head coach. You can talk about Todd Haley all you want. He's the offensive coordinator, but Mike Tomlin's the head coach. You know, this is under his leadership. You bring in a new coordinator, Keith Butler, to replace Dick LeBeau. And I'm looking at that defense, man. They're flying all over the field, right? Blitzing more than I can remember in quite some time with the Steelers team. Keith Butler, the defensive coordinator. Again, Mike Tomlin, the head coach. So I really believe, and, you know, when I covered him, I don't know. I didn't like the way he dealt with the media, so maybe I took it a little personally in dealings with him and my thoughts about him. But I always wanted to give him credit where it was due as a coach and the success that he had. And I still feel like in his ninth season, he doesn't get the credit he deserves as an NFL head coach. All these things I'm talking about, all these players that are out on the field and performing, Mike Tomlin's the head coach. Let's don't forget that. And sometimes we don't hear about that except when something doesn't go well, and then it's time to point the finger at the head coach. But to me, when things go well, when a system change has taken place the way it has with the Steelers, let's make no mistake about it. He's the head coach. He gets the credit. He doesn't get enough of it. Last night, again, a perfect example. Final play of the game. I mean, that, you know, some people say that was a crazy play. What if it didn't work? Well, guess what? It did work. He was the head coach. At the end of the day, he could say yay or nay. He went with it. He said, I'm going with my boys. We're going for it. We're not kicking the field goal. We're not going to tie it. We're not going to throw it past the end zone. We're going to go with the workhorse, Le'Veon Bell. 2 weeks ago, y'all ripped me because I didn't give him the ball, because I threw the ball to our other playmaker, A.B., Antonio Brown. This week, I'm giving the ball to the playmaker. Now what you got to say?
See, and that's what you call having some big cojones. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's one thing I like about Coach T. Man, he going to stick his neck out there. He going to put his neck on the chopping block. He's, for the most part now, is not going to let anybody dictate his decision-making. And from a coach's standpoint, that's growth. You know, from 1 week to the next week, man, yeah, I was put in a situation. I let my offensive coordinator have it. And that was his play call. So I'm going to respect that. I can't all of a sudden say, man, because that play call didn't work out. You know, it's going to be all on him. I got to eat that. You know what I'm saying? So I got the same situation the following week. And you saw what happened with the following week. Man, when you got the Wildcat formation, you know what I'm about to do. You know what I'm about to do. Whoever the running back is about to get the ball, and we're about to run it down y'all neck. So we worked on them plays a few times throughout the week. I like my situation. I feel like I got Le'Veon Bell in it. I feel like I got one of the best running backs in the world. I'm going to put it in his hands. And as soon as I put it in his hands, I'm going to be confident and understand, man, that that man is going to make that play. And he did. So 5 seconds left, all out in a Wildcat formation. You know, we ain't passing the ball. You know, we're about to run it. Left to right or up the middle. Stop us. And that's exactly what he did.
And that, let's talk about that play, Ike. It's not something you see a lot, especially not on the last play of the game. We're talking, this was it. I mean, people were thinking, well, maybe they could get two plays in. Maybe it could have gotten two plays in if one of those plays was a quick pass to the end zone. They didn't get that. I mean, they knew once that happened, you know, once they called the running play, that was it. It wasn't anything else was going to happen. There wasn't going to be another play. And they were either going to win or they were going to lose. Do you think what we saw last night had anything to do with what happened the previous game with those fourth down calls? Do you think in the back of Coach Tomlin's mind or anything that factored into it? We're not doing that again. We're going with the workhorse. And if it doesn't work, I'm going to stand up here and say, hey, you know what? I gave the ball to my best player, and it didn't work. You want to fire me for that? Yeah. You want to shoot me for that? Do it. I'm going with this guy. This is the guy. And he told the whole team that he was going with the guy, Le'Veon Bell. And that's what he did. So, to me, he not only made a statement, you know, to us, the Steeler Nation, he also made a statement to his team, to the players, to the locker room. I'm behind you guys. This is what we're going to do. We're going to roll with it. If it doesn't work, so be it. But I believe in you guys. I trust you.
Boy, that's a game. That's a season-changing play call. That's a confident play call. That's a next time I'm in this situation, I'm giving it to Le'Veon and the world going to know it. Play call. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they started off hot. Their first possession, it looked kind of good. You know what I'm saying? For the Pittsburgh Steelers, like, the formations, having D'Angelo and Le'Veon on the field at the same time. You said Heath Miller getting the ball on the first over route on that first possession. It was looking real good. Then it kind of, like, fell off that heat. That flame kind of fell off a whole lot. But when it came down to the came down, me and the man, when it was just, okay, my go-to time, hand the ball off to Le'Veon. So when they start handing the ball off to Le'Veon, you saw the patience by Le'Veon. He was getting 2 yards, 3 yards, breaking one. Getting 2 yards, 3 yards, breaking one. And I still took my head off to Coach Haley because a few times they knew, they meaning San Diego defense knew Le'Veon was getting the ball and they were stopping him in the backfield. And Coach Ty still didn't let that dictate to his play calling. It was a few times when it was second down to 15, you know, second down to 18. And he still gave the ball to Le'Veon because he knew Le'Veon was going to come through for him. So, again, man, just understanding who your best player was, understanding who your quarterback is, and he wasn't probably in the flow at that time. I'm going to make him say hike and hand the ball off to 2-6 and watch 2-6 work. And that's exactly what we saw last night.
Haven't been on that sideline with the Steelers for 12 seasons and many of those seasons with Mike Tomlin. What was that final huddle like, do you think, on the sideline when they were discussing that play? How do you think it went between Todd Haley and with Tomlin and with Vic and Bell and Ben Roethlisberger over there too? How do you think that meeting went, or that huddle on the sideline?
For this game right here, for this play call?
This last play of the game that we saw last night. How do you think, what happened on the sideline? What was that discussion like?
That wasn't even no discussion. That was a game plan, play call before that situation, during the week. You know what I'm saying, Jay? Uh-huh. That was during the week. Like, hey, man, Le'Veon getting this ball in crunch time. We're gonna go out and throw some smoke. What's the smoke? We're going to go out and run this Wildcat, put Vic out there, because Vic still is a threat if Le'Veon throw the ball. He still is a threat as a runner. Matter of fact, Vic, if Le'Veon throw that ball to Vic, Vic going to catch that ball, and he got an option out to run a pass. But he's our quarterback. So it's a lot of illusion when it comes down to that Wildcat, man. And really, I'm going to give Coach Ty Haley the credit because that Wildcat really kind of disappeared in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? So now Haley, like, you know what, man? Let me bring it back to my Kansas City days. I got a scenario where I got two good running backs, a quarterback slash she's a running back, another receiver slash she played quarterback, and college, which is Antonio Brown. But let me go out and give it to this guy. And who's this guy? who's this grown man? Who's this young stud? Le'Veon. So that wasn't even no discussion. Hey, man, y'all know we worked on. You knew the game plan was. If it came down to the situation on a game-winning call, let's go ahead and go with this Wildcat. They know what we're about to do. I don't care. Let's go with this Wildcat and put our marbles all on 2-6 and watch them work. And you got to respect that. You got to respect that. Because you know what Le'Veon about to do. You know what it is when you see 2-6 back there in the shotgun. He about to get the ball, and he about to run it in for a touchdown. Not stop me. And I respect that. That's old school Pittsburgh Steelers. Nah, you could have put Vic in under the center. Still had Le'Veon back there with number 45 blocking for him. And you probably knew what time it was. It was gonna be a run, or it might have would have been a play action. Man, they put 2-6 back there in the shotgun in a Wildcat and dares you to stop it. Dares you to stop it. That was game plan from day one, from the last loss over the last situation from Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. Oh, talk about that run itself. He's contortion. He's, you know, it's like you can't get like a solid hit on him. He's here. He's a slinky. You know, he's moving here. He's there. He's up. He's upright. He's down. Then next thing you know, he's stretching into the end zone. It's like he's just not your typical running back in the way he moves his body. The way he doesn't take that direct hit, and just he didn't rush that play. I guess if he had rushed it, maybe he wouldn't have made it. It's like he really. By people saying, "Well, why was he so far back?" You know, he had him back what 7 yards. Well, maybe that enabled him, gave him a little bit more time to read the holes where it was, read the defense, and see where he needed to go. But just the way he scored, it was just very unusual. And the way his body, he didn't take a direct hit. Someone had his, at the bottom, at the end, somebody had him down low. But, you know, the ball was out, and he was able to stretch forward with it. His running style, it's just incredibly unique.
See, that'd be my thing. Like, everybody won't get picky when you win. Like, I won. So why you get picky when I won? Man, if I wouldn't have made it,
yeah,
then get picky with me. But... Golly, like, I won. So, you know my running style. Ray Lewis said it before the game. If you was watching the pregame, like, I'm a patient guy. I'm going to make you go somewhere you really don't. I'm going to set you up for this crossover. I'm a running back, but I'm about to set you up for this crossover. I'm going to give you this crossover. I'm going to get skinny, and I'm going to get the yards that you might not think that's there. But I see they're there, but I got to set you up first. That's late all day. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I've grown. If you saw the man post-game interview, he was letting you know how much he grown. Man, I sat down and did that one-on-one with that man and said, dang, bro, you were leading your third year, and you don't even know it. Like, you get it in your third year, and you don't even know it. 2.9% body fat, John. I mean, coming from Michigan State at 237, coming out of there at 237. He came out of Michigan State at 237. You look at the man now, man, he's 211. What that telling me as a coach and as a peer from being a player, he get it. He taking care of his body. He understand what it is to be a professional athlete. Yeah, did he have a little slip-up? We all do. Get over that. Because I keep telling y'all, if we would have went back to when y'all went to college and the slip-ups y'all did and didn't get caught, who are we to judge? I'm a big guy and not judging. I'm a huge guy not judging because we all have slip-ups. You know what I'm saying? We all fall short at some time. So let the man learn from it. And I felt like at the time when I had that sitting down, like, Le'Veon was genuine and he learned from that. You know what I'm saying? So he said the year before, he lost some weight, and he felt good. So he said, man, let me try to lose some more weight another year later. Like, let me see if I can feel better. Matter of fact, let me change my diet. I can be stubborn and be like, man, I got age on my time. I got age on my hand and understanding, man, that I can be a certain weight. I can be lean at a certain percent because and still able to eat what I want to eat junk food because I'm young. Nah, I'm about to go out and change the whole game. I'm about to work out, I'm about to lift, and I'm about to change my eating habit. So me just listening to the dude saying what he was doing from year to year, it's like, damn, this young dude really get it. He really get what it takes to be a professional athlete.
And going back to what I was saying earlier about Mike Tomlin and how I feel like he doesn't and really has never gotten that recognition. I mean, yeah, he gets the recognition. Yeah, Mike Tomlin's the coach of the Steelers and won the Super Bowl, blah, blah, blah. But it's not his system, quote, unquote. You know what I mean? It's almost like sometimes he's like a bystander the way the overall media perception is. Le'Veon Bell is another classic example. They really targeted this guy. I remember meeting with him up at Michigan State, I think after his pro day, him and Kevin Colbert, Mike Tomlin, Kevin Colbert. This is a guy Mike Tomlin really wanted. And Le'Veon Bell was a second-round pick. Who was the first round? Eddie Lacy was the big running back that year from Alabama that went to Green Bay, was the running back big name. And he's been successful so far in the NFL with the Packers. But Le'Veon Bell was more of like an afterthought, a second-round pick, a guy that the Steelers targeted and had great plans for. So, again, when you look at this Steelers team right now and you look at last night's victory, and you have to really give kudos to Mike Tomlin for a lot of different things, for the personnel, for the offensive, the switch in offense, the more of a free reign now, the risk-taking at the end of the game. That's Mike Tomlin. That's his team, the Steelers.
Man, I talked to Coach T, Giants, about drafting Le'Veon Bell a couple of years ago. And he said, all right. He said, man, I went up there to watch another player. But I saw the way this guy was built. I saw the way he moved around the weight rooms. I saw how all the guys took to him. So when I saw that, I'm like, okay, let me do some more research on this dude. So I've got to do some more research on this dude. Now I've seen that he's led the NCAA in yak yards. Now I see he's very patient. So let me open my mind up. Meaning, if I can get him to the Pittsburgh Steelers, he's going to be good for me at 6'2", 230-something. If the only thing I could change from this guy is him coming in and losing weight, like Coach T said, man, I'm cooking with gas. Like he wasn't even on the radar that hard at the time. Because if he was, he would have been in the first round. You know what I'm saying? So for Coach T to have an eye like that, to have an eye like that, and just understanding his vision for that man in the long run, like you said, Jay, you got to tip your hat off to the man. You got to. Because I'm coming to Michigan State to kind of look at something else.
I'm betting it was Denard, the cornerback that everybody here wanted the Steelers to take, that cornerback.
Yeah, yeah. I'm coming to look at somebody.
Yeah.
But, dang, I see somebody else.
Yeah.
Man, let me go out and do my research on this dude to see if he fit with me. Oh, yeah, he fit with me. He fit with it. He's a Steeler. Mm-hmm. He's a Steeler.
Yeah.
So now that I know he's a Steeler, let me do my research, and he's going to be another option of mine. And if I got opportunity, I'm going to draft him. Like, when they drafted Le'Veon in the second round, people was like, what? Well, boy, look at it now. Look at it now. So when I talked to Coach T about that situation a few years ago, he kind of opened my eyes up into being like, not only is he a head coach, he has a good eye for talent, and I respect that.
Well, like Mike Tomlin says, the Ike Taylor Show is cooking with gas. We're going to just turn down the heat just a little bit, take a little break, do a little business. We'll be right back.
Experience layers of handcrafted perfection in every sip of Dunkin' Donuts' delicious new macchiato, made with steamed milk, layered with rich and creamy flavor. topped with a double shot of Dunkin's rich, freshly brewed espresso. It's a beautiful combination that tastes as good as it looks. Find your macchiato moment today and enjoy the flavor of fall with a new hot or iced pumpkin macchiato. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Pumpkin flavors are back at Dunkin' Donuts. Get pumped for pumpkin and enjoy the fall flavor you crave with a variety of tasty treats. Experience the new handcrafted pumpkin macchiato and indulge in new pumpkin cheesecake squares made with creamy pumpkin cheesecake filling. There's so many pumpkin flavors to choose from. Enjoy pumpkin donuts, muffins, munchkins, and more before pumpkin season is over. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Saloom Rega Funeral Service, located at 730 West Main Street in Mount Pleasant. Funerals, cremation, green burial, monuments, and catering. Call 724-547-2122 or online at saloom-rega.com.
Greater Pittsburgh Orthopedic Associates. Tradition, trust, talent. We know how to care for athletes. GPOA combines state-of-the-art techniques and innovative procedures to help athletes deal with injuries and get back into the game as quickly as possible. Our pros have treated the pros. We've worked with the Los Angeles Lakers, the Dodgers, and the Kings, the Chicago Bears and Cubs, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, Pirates, Penguins, and Riverhounds. Give us a call at 800-544-9340. That's 800-544-9340. Or online at gpoa.com. We won't let you be sidelined for long.
First down!
Hofstadt's Cafe Monaco Restaurant in Oakmont, online at hofstadt.com. And the Chelsea Grill, an American grill in Oakmont, online at chelseagrilloak.com. Visit us for lunch and dinner. Bring the family before or after the football game. And good luck this season. Both restaurants located on Allegheny Avenue in Oakmont.
Get crazy fast, high-speed internet, up to 20 megs with no data caps from Consolidated Communications. You'll have all the speed you need to watch videos with no buffering, game online with no lag or glitches, and share the speed on multiple devices with no delays. Get up to 20 megs for just $20 per month for 2 years. Plus, add TV and save even more. Go to consolidated.com or call 844-YOUR-CCI. Service is not available in all areas and may vary by location. Phone line required. Taxes, fees, surcharges, and any items not in the bundle are extra. Other conditions apply.
Pittsburgh's college hockey team, the Robert Morris Colonials, take to the 84 Lumber Arena ice at the RMU Island Sports Center on Neville Island this season as defending Atlantic Hockey Conference champions. Season, group, and individual game tickets are on sale now. New ticket prices for the 2015-16 season are in effect and offer many great opportunities for Colonial fans to come out and support their favorite team. Season tickets start at just $120 for 15 games. Individual tickets start at just $10 if you buy in advance and $12 day of game. There are also special discounts for kids, seniors, and military, plus lots of promotional giveaways. For more information or to buy, visit rmutickets.com or call the RMU Ticket Office at 412-397-4949.
Brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'.
Sports Talk on Trib Live Radio presents The Ike Taylor Show.
I am finished.
Check out official IkeTaylor.com. Now here's your host, Trib columnist John Harris. Trib Total Media. See what's next.
Welcome back to The Ike Taylor Show on Trib Live Radio. Brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, the preferred coffee of The Ike Taylor Show. We're talking about last night, Steelers 24, San Diego 20, big Monday night victory. And talking a lot about Mike Tomlin, decision at the end of the game, winning decision after, I guess, being questioned, the team being questioned the previous game against Baltimore, some late game decisions. And a lot of the thought process, looking at the players on the field, such as going after a Michael Vick. That's a Mike Tomlin decision, drafting Le'Veon Bell. He had a lot of input in that. Another thing, Ike, that was impressive last night. For the second straight game, Antonio Brown has not been a major factor, and particularly last night, but the team was able to, when teams are really going after him to take him out of the offense, but yet, and you look at Michael Vick, his development in this offense, okay, your number one option's not there, Antonio Brown. So what do? You go to Marcus Wilson? I'm sorry, what is my man's name? Marcus Wheaton. Marcus Wheaton on a bomb, Heath Miller, Darius Haywood-Bey, a guy who's been passed around the league as, you know, basically a bust, a top 10 draft pick. And he was able to be successful late, despite Antonio Brown really not being Antonio Brown. What are teams – I mean, obviously they're doubling him. They're following him around. They're shadowing him all over the field. What do you see out there, Ike, with what teams are now doing to Antonio Brown? And how has it changed since – because that was Ben Roethlisberger's guy, and teams were following him around anyway before that, but somehow they were able to connect. What's been happening there that have you seen so far in these first two games? What teams are doing to Michael Vick to take Antonio Brown away, and what needs to happen, I guess, for those guys to start connecting more?
It's kind of hard. And just that connection that AB and Seven had, you know, that just looking at each other, that playing 4 or 5 years together, that connection means a lot from a receiver to a quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know he's going to be on this place. I know he's going to be in this area. I know the cornerback is in front of him. I'm going to throw this back shoulder fade. I'm talking to him right now on situations. Hey, man, how this corner is playing you, you know? What routes can we get open on this corner? It's kind of hard to get that relationship with Michael Vick right now because he already got a lot on this plate. He already got formations. He got hides. He got new verbal language when it comes down to knowing the offense and what to say. He got to make adjustments. He got to see what the line is doing. Are they sliding left or right, depending on the fronts from the defense? It's a whole lot on this plate. And that's another point of growth towards AB. Like, he can pout about it. He can say what he wants to say, but he understands how much it is on Mike Vick's plate. It's like, hey, man, when you got time to give him the ball, give him the ball. I mean, he still had that big play. 39 yards going across the middle and just breaking it up to, you know, a 5-yard route to, you know, a 40-yard gain. You know what I'm saying? So that's letting you know the growth and maturity on AB's part. Don't get it twisted. Verrett, the guy who was checking him, I think they went to the same college, Central Michigan also. So it was a good understanding. The cornerback who played, who followed AB, he didn't do a bad job either. You got to give credit when credit is due. He didn't do a bad job either. But from a defensive coordinator standpoint, you're going to start to see that they're not going to let AB beat them. AB is not going to run up and down the field on teams anymore. And to help that defensive coordinator thought, it just so happened this is second string quarterback. So you got to understand the relationship isn't there between a Ben Roethlisberger and the AB, and I respect the fact that AB is like, hey man, let's get out of these stadiums and win these ball games, and that's growth and maturity right now.
And you know, let's be honest, this is the NFL copycat league. I don't see that changing. I mean, if the first two games without Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown has been held in check. I see Arizona doing the same thing. Why would you change it? I mean, Baltimore won using the strategy. San Diego almost won using the strategy. I don't see it changing this week with Arizona. So it looks like look for more of Darius Haywood-Bey. Look for more of Heath Miller. Look for more of Marcus Wheaton in the passing game. And and Antonio Brown just have to get in where he can fit in until, as you know, depending on how long Michael Vick's going to be the quarterback. There, there's talk that Ben Roethlisberger may come back sooner than expected. But that's not going to change. Defenses are going to continue to try to take him out. And while that may not be good for his statistical ledger, especially with him trying to do something with his contract, it is about winning at the end of the day. wins and losses, and that was a huge win for the Steelers last night. Ike, your boy, Zilla, Twan Blake, 70-yard pick, six. I was at the end, I said, what is he doing? It looked like he was kind of coasting there a little bit. I mean, I guess he had surveyed the field and knew there was nobody was going to catch him. But I was like, man, get in the end zone. What you doing?
Man, the man got in the paint. The percentages are high when the defense score a touchdown that you're going to win that game. And Zilla, man, you know, for the most part, like, he's come a long way. You know what I'm saying? Like, he went to Jacksonville, they had the man playing safety. You know damn well the man isn't a safety. The man is a cornerback. But he's built low to the ground, impact. He's strong, and he just want to get on the field.
Yeah.
So he's gonna be willing to do whatever you ask him to do. Was a special teams monster at Jacksonville. That was the reason why we got Zilla, because of special teams. Couldn't nobody stop the man on special teams. Put that on tape, come right back to Pittsburgh, we get him. He do the same thing when he first came in. Was a special teams monster. So he just led his way into putting himself in that position. Zilla was one of the reasons why I retired, to be honest with you. Like, I felt like I lost the passion. I felt like I lost the passion for football. I felt like I was having more fun watching my young guys play than me actually playing. And between Zilla and Gay at the time, what they did last year, it was nothing but growth and maturity coming from them. And I felt like a proud papa. You know what I'm saying? I felt proud. And now that Zilla has the opportunity and the chance, you see what he's doing. You see exactly what he's doing. So, I see it. I've seen it. I've been around it. You know what he was this offseason. He was by Coach Shaw.
Yep. Coach Shaw talked about him. Coach Shaw talked about him. He came on the show. Talked about how he expected him to have a breakout year.
And Zilla is going to continue to get better. The more confidence he has, the more he's out on that field. Like, I'm liking Zilla's situation, and I'm liking the reason why Zilla played, because nothing was handed to him. He know what it is to be at the bottom. You know what I'm saying? He know what it is to get to where he's at and to try to hold on and make plays. Like, them are the kind of stories I like. Like, he doesn't feel entitled to anything. If you can ask him about Zilla, man, you know he's going to work. He's a workaholic. That's all the man like to do. And he has a story. And playing that cornerback position, man, really nothing's handed to you. You got to be built for that. And I feel like Zilla's built for that. I feel like Zilla could have played with us in 2005. Man, all that ghetto, that ratchet, that man low down dirty. Zilla was on that team in 2005. I always go back to that 2005 era because that's how I feel like the mentality is. You know what I'm saying? Like, It's a me against the world kind of mentality, and that's that mentality Zilla got, you know. So I watched Zilla grow from a pup, and he's maturing. He's trying to, you know, be that grown man, and he's one of those reasons. He's one of them. He's one of those reasons why I was like, you know what, Coach T, man, let the young man rock. You know, I see it in him. My passion is just about disappear. Go on and let him rock. And you saying what Zilla doing.
You're listening to the Ike Taylor Show on Trib Live Radio, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, the preferred coffee of the Ike Taylor Show. And Friday night, another Friday night Ike Taylor Show at the Sports Grill in Cranberry. 8 p.m. Looking forward to that. And we'll be previewing Sunday Steelers Arizona game, the return of Bruce Arians to Heinz Field. I very interesting comment there about you personally, and one of the factors that went into you maybe not coming back, the development of young players like Antoine Blake Zilla, but also you talking about your passion, which you have to play football. When did it happen? When was it, you know, soon after the injury, late in the season? Did it just one day you just sitting there and it just hit you? That did you think back to all the years, you know, what you did and what you had to do to play, and then one day you're sitting there and you just don't feel that way anymore? When did that hit?
Well, it was just Jay that time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't really put an exact date on it. Yeah. It was more towards, man, I can't wait to get back on the field, to get back on the field in that Cincinnati game, to, Coach, I'm hurting the team. Like, I told Coach after that Cincinnati game, like, as much as I want to be out there, like, I'm messing up the flow. I feel like I'm messing up the flow with the rotation. My young guys ain't going to say nothing because they want to see me back out there. Like, they want to see the old school dude out there. They ain't going to say nothing. But for me, just from afar, Coach, I feel like I'm messing up the rotation. I'm messing up the groove. I'm messing up the growth. And I really don't want to be out there. I got out there to see how it was. I don't want to get out there and go through the motions. Like, that ain't even me. So it just happened just rapidly like that. So that Cincinnati game, I think, kind of put a stamp on it to how I was feeling. Mm-hmm. And I had more fun just watching. I had more fun watching the defense play. Not too many athletes going to say that.
No, they're not.
You know, no, they're not going to say that. And for me, it ain't never been about the money. Like, I stack my money like that. So me chasing money wasn't ever the issue. Like, I'm a very fortunate young man. You know what I'm saying? And I really do and honestly believe that. So me coming back to play here a year there, a year for the money part, no, I was cool off that. I'm all the way cool off that. You know, I didn't talk to Matt, my financial advisor, like, man, what I need to do? Hey, man, you did everything you needed to do, man. You ain't got to work another day in your life, bro. But I got to have a job. I just got to stay busy because by structure, what people don't understand is football athletes, man, or just athletes in general, we're built from structure.
Right.
We're built by nature because of the sports we play to have something to do, to not sit still. So that's why I bust my butt off in the off season. That's why I did these radio shows. I was setting myself up. I didn't know I was going to get a job this fast. At the same time, I could have got a job with Pittsburgh Steelers. The door's still open. I just went back though. Cool T, man. Man, the door's still open for you, man. The door's still open for you. I think you want to come back. Like, I'm just a fortunate guy. I like seeing people grow. I like being around people. I like staying positive regardless of what the situation is. That's just me. And I got to be honest with myself. And me just coming to that conclusion, like, man, I'm just messing up the flow. Because T was like, wow, like, man, you really gonna sit and let these young guys get this playoff experience? I'm talking about last year. I'm like, yeah, Coach. He was like, man, Coach T was like, that's some real G, if you know what I'm saying. Because you can be all the way selfish, Ike. All the way selfish. You can pull the veteran card. You can pull the two-time Super Bowl champion card. You can pull the man I've been to three Super Bowls card. You can pull, man, I know what it is to play in the playoffs. Man, I did that already. Go don't give these young guys that experience. I told Tua, I said, Tua, man, just handling your business last year. I said, Tua, man, handling your business. It's a different feeling when you're playing from regular season to the playoffs. That's what I told Tua before he played in that playoff game last year against the Ravens. To it after the game, he was hurt. He was hurt. But I said to him, man, how did it feel playing the highest field in a playoff game? He said, man, there's no words to describe that. I say, picture that 3 times, 10 times, 100 times more winning the Super Bowl. He said, big brother, I got to get that feeling. And you saying what he doing this year?
Yeah, He's on my fantasy team. He's balling out. He has made an unbelievable transformation. He wasn't a guy maybe that people going into this year were really looking at, but his development has, you know, everybody's talking about Cameron Haywood, and he's been playing well, but Stephon Tuitt, his emergence has made a huge difference, and
huge.
It's made a major impact in the growth of this defense, and maybe one of the reasons why Keith Butler, your boy Butts, is blitzing and doing as much as he's doing because of the play of his front three. And I don't know if – I know I didn't expect that this quickly.
Let's not even talk about Coach Butts, because look at the shoes he had to fill coming from Dick LeBeau.
Right.
And I was saying that – I was saying that, like, man, don't tweet me talking about you need me back. Like, y'all need to stop all that. What y'all need to do is start being patient. I said around the 6th to 8th week. That's what I said Pittsburgh defense was going to be rolling, around the 6th to 8th week. Quietly, the defense has been the strength of the team since Ben has been out.
Yeah.
Man, Tom Brady put up 28 points the first game. 28 points. And we're hooping and hollering and saying the secondary, we need to get rid of guys, secondary. But if you ask one of the offensive guys, man, we should have won that game, man. We had two times to kick a field goal. We missed the field goal. And we had a touchdown that we didn't get 2 feet in on a touchdown. But now, if you've been watching tape on Tom Brady, who's hot as a firecracker, he's been doing more than putting up 28 points on teams.
Yeah.
He's been 35 and 42 and 45 in teams. So that's what I knew right there. Like, dang, just off a few miscommunications, Coach Butts' first game off a few miscommunications, off of 2 field goals missed and a touchdown without getting 2 feet in, they won that game. Everybody ain't looking at it like that, but I'm looking at it like that. So now we go to St. Louis, who got 2 first-rounders on the perimeter. Two first-rounders on the perimeter. Nick Foles was no slouch in Philly. And you got Brandon Cooks, who is an athletic tight end, with Stedman Bailey, who was at West Virginia, another stud on the outside. You see what he's been doing lately. And what they do, they hold them to 6 points.
Yeah.
To 6 points. So now we can start. But, hey, they did everything they needed to do in that Baltimore Ravens game, too. They did everything they needed to do in that Baltimore Ravens game. They gave the offense the ball back with 2 minutes and some seconds left to hold that ball and let's win this game. Let's not get that twisted either. And then we come back on a Monday Night Football and we score on defense. Let's not get that twisted either. Y'all been asking turnovers. I told y'all we're going to bend but don't break.
Yeah.
I told y'all that.
You told us a lot, man. And it's gone so quickly today that we're going to have to – I'm looking at the clock, man, and Mike's telling me, John, you gotta wrap it up. I hate to do it to you, man. We're gonna pick it up on Friday at the Sports Grill in Cranberry at 8 o'clock Friday night. It was a great show today, great conversation, some really revealing comments from you about last year and your decision to shut it down in the NFL. We're gonna have to pick up on that theme as we go on. I'm gonna let you wrap it up. Great stuff, man. Have a great week. You can always check Ike out on NFL Now with the NFL Network, and we will be hooking up on Friday.
Shout out to Dunkin' Donuts, the preferred coffee of the Ike Taylor Show. Got to thank John for just, you know, John Harris, I'm talking about my co-host, for just asking me to do the Ike Taylor Show, man. It's been a wonderful experience, and it's growing. It's growing. I mean, my schedule has been hectic of me coming back and forth from Orlando to Cal to Pittsburgh, but it's growing quietly, and it's going to continue to grow. So shout out to John. Want to thank everybody for listening to the Ike Taylor Show, for tuning in. Man, we have a lot to talk about. We have the inside scoops. We talk about whatever you want to talk about. I know what it is to be in the media now. I have a lot of stories to tell. I have great insight. So do John. So, man, keep tuning into the Ike Taylor Show every Tuesday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. East Coast time, from 6 to 7 West Coast time. Want to thank everybody again for just tuning in and supporting the Ike Taylor Show. Got to give the shout out once again to Dunkin' Donuts, the preferred coffee of the Ike Taylor Show. Catch us every Tuesday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Catch us on Friday from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Sports Bar and Grill Cranberry. See y'all there next time. Peace.
Good luck to the East Allegheny Wildcats. From Dunkin' Donuts with three great and convenient locations in your area, including Irwin, Murraysville, and North Versailles. America runs on Dunkin'.